Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to eLaborate Topics podcast. eLaborate Topics podcast is a weekly podcast where myself, Lona Small, and Tywana Wilson and Stephanie Whitehead come to you to bring you tips, tools, and awesome guests to help you to excel both inside and outside the lab. And today we have another exciting and awesome guest, Andre Kaus. And Andre is going to correct me the way I pronounce his name, but I'm trying so hard to get that accent. He's coming all the way from South Africa, and Andre has been making waves in the lab industry through training and development, and we're so excited to have him with us. So we're going to bring him on. Welcome, Andre.
Thank you, Lona. It's very nice to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to partake in this podcast, and then also for the work that you are doing to enhance performance in diagnostic laboratories globally.
Awesome. I'm going to do a quick introduction, read Andre's bio, and to give you a little sneak peek of who he is. He's doing so many amazing things, but this is just a quick sneak peek. Andre is a seasoned skill development professional with over 27 years of experience in learning and development sphere. He's known to inspire, motivate, and develop people to help them to achieve their business objectives and career aspirations. He's passionate about the lab and their role in quality of life and making us live longer, healthier, and stronger. With this in mind, he has developed the Power of Process skill development programs that help laboratory enhance patient care through business management and laboratory performance improvement in a rapidly changing environment. He has also authored a textbook called The Guide to Management for Laboratory Leaders that's available on Amazon. So thank you so much for being here, Andre. You're doing so much in the lab industry. And I mean, from across the globe, it's like you're getting so much attention, especially that Power of Process training program that I've participated in. It is awesome. I think every lab should participate in this. And we're just going to talk a little bit about just a snapshot of some of the things that you do. So thank you so much for being on eLaborate Topics podcast.
Thank you very much, Lona.
All right. I'm going to go in and going to jump in. And usually, first of all, we ask, you know, I'm just going to ask you, Andre, to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your journey, and what led you to doing what you currently do.
Yeah, thank you, Lona. As Lona said, my name is Andre Kaus, and I'm working for Power of Process. I've been in skills development for 27 years. I've studied engineering, but my passion has always been people. And due to the analytical nature of engineering, I've always tried to add a problem-solving approach or formula towards human performance and, you know, how we can make humans better to execute their work and to add value and the specific knowledge and skills that they must have to master to perform optimally. I've been involved in diagnostic lab transformation and improvement skills development programs for the past 7 years. And as Lona said, I love to work with lab professionals to make us live longer. And that is why their work is so interesting to me. And my passion is really to help them to work smarter, to be more effective and efficient so that they can enhance and improve patient care.
Awesome. And I know, Andre, based on Power of Process teach a lot of great tools. And when I participate in that program, there's a lot of focus on performance improvement. And I know a lot of people, when they're thinking of improvement in the lab, there's this focus on process improvement. But then when, you know, I listen to Andre and hear him talk about performance improvement, I just want you to kind of tell the listeners, what's the difference between performance improvement and process improvement, and how does that relate to the lab?
Yes, thank you, Lorna. So performance improvement and process improvement go hand in hand, and it contributes towards the same strategic goals of the diagnostic laboratory. Performance improvement focuses more on the performance of the individuals, using levers such as motivation, knowledge, skills, ability, attitude, and attribute. Whereas process improvement focus on improving the lab as a process and using various techniques and tools to identify and address problems, pain points, and opportunities. For example, to remove waste, to improve the layout for better flow, to work with smaller batch sizes, to maybe make lead time shorter, to reduce queues, to reduce the number of steps, to maybe automate steps, to combine steps, to consolidate activities, and to get rid of bottlenecks.
Awesome. Yes, because a lot of time, it's so good to look at not just the process, I always say, but look at the bigger picture, look at the people, and you look at the big picture, you're looking at all improved products, but you're looking at improving the different performances of the people and their motivation and their attributes and the whole holistic thing, which is so important with all of that. So, you know, when I think about that, how can performance improvement help with some of the challenges that we're facing now in the lab? Because right now there's just a lot that we're facing. How could that help us in our current time?
Yeah, Lorna, you're absolutely right, because I think, you know, if you want to improve the processes and the performance, it all boils back to what the people do. So, and we all know that a laboratory is a complex process with various key performance areas that need to be achieved to enhance the patient care and experience by the end of the day. And I think due to its complexity, there are tons of things that can possibly go wrong and that can be improved. And staff at different band levels are responsible for achieving these improvements and savings. And we all know that laboratory staff is trained scientists, and it's always good to empower them with a skill set to master performance and process improvement, because if they don't have it, we will not be able to move the world forward. On your question in terms of how can performance improvement help with some of the current challenges in the lab, this is actually a very short question with a very long answer. We all know that labs are under constant pressure to do more with less. And the listeners will agree with me that it is expected from labs to continuously improve turnaround time. They are expected to reduce the cost per test. They need to be more productive and efficient. They need to improve the quality. They need to create downstream value through clinical decision support. They need to provide value-based care. And on top of that, they sit with staff shortages. Wow, what a challenge. Wow. And the problem is that the macro environment is changing so quickly that the labs do not have the time or the capacity to align with these changes internally in many cases. So some of them do. And when that happens, that is when your system breaks. Now, if I talk about the system, I talk about your job descriptions, which actually, you know, keeps people positive and motivated, because that is the guide of what's expected of them, what they need to do. the system could include like your policies, your SOPs, your procedures, your position requirements. So the position requirement is the thing that tells you what is the skills that I need to perform in that position. Individual development plans, and in many cases, your performance management system breaks as well. So from a lab management point of view, the things that need to help you to manage the performance of your lab to enhance patient care and experience are not there anymore. And I believe that performance improvement starts at that point. And I think you will agree with me that great laboratory performance starts, as you've said, with a holistic understanding of what is the lab's vision, the mission, the values, and the strategic goals. If you cannot just work at your bench and think the things that you are doing will take my performance forward, you must understand what is my role in the bigger context and in this business. And all the downstream functions and activities must be linked to this. If it's not linked to the lab's vision, mission, values, and strategic goals, you set yourself up for failure. And the question is, how do we link this to the job that must be done at operational level where the tire hits the tar? And what we normally do is we start with a boundary and a manning point analysis so that we can document the activities and the equipment and the statutory requirements for a specific position. And the information that we gain from there will inform the policies and the procedures and the job levels and the band levels. And this information will also inform the job descriptions, the skills required, and the individual development plans and the performance metrics that we need to perform in that position optimally. And then once all of these are up to date, lab employees must determine if performance improvement is actually necessary. And they must determine the most important things that they do to move their lab forward. And they must know if they are doing it well. And they need to know which benchmarks they need to apply and if they are contributing to an improved and enhanced patient experience. And it all starts with, I believe, scientific management. So the lab staff need to figure out where they want to be, and they need to start progressing towards that point. And they need to measure the right key performance indicators and determine where the problems are. And they need to target those areas through performance improvement. And then they can measure their progress.
Wow. So it doesn't just happen haphazardly, right?
No, not at all.
You don't say, I start a lab, I'm going to just employ some people, we're going to just do some testing and borrow somebody's job description from another place. And, you know, like, we need this turnaround time. We just decide randomly on, you know, what's our turnaround time. You're saying that this comes with a lot of thinking and planning and aligning it with the objective of your organization, understanding what the vision is, and we have to fit everything. Goes right down to the people at the bench, from the top to the bottom, everything has to link. And then we have to make sure we put the right things in place before we even start measuring whether or not we're performing up to what the standard that we expect or set. Wow.
you're absolutely right, Lona. And I think that the problem is many lab organizations, you know, they don't know that it's actually easy to do it and that they can build the internal capability. It's not difficult, but if you don't know how to do it, then you will not be able to do it.
Wow. So you're saying, although it may sound complicated, that there's a lot of different parts that you have to put together. Once you know what pieces you need to put together and, you know, you're guided in how to put it together, it's not as complex as it may sound, right?
Yes, you're 100% right, Lona.
So if, say, for instance, you're going to do some performance improvement, if does that mean that the focus would be in, like, I have to be cutting costs or reducing resources? Is that really what performance improvement is all about?
Lona, thank you for the question. I would say not necessarily. I think people have different perceptions of what good performance is. So process improvement doesn't mean, or performance improvement doesn't mean cutting your resources to the bone. In many cases, that could make you perform worse. Because, I mean, if you take a resource out, you are removing 8 hours of available work capacity from your lab. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the system hampers employees from performing. And performance improvement for me covers many areas. It's about identifying the critical activities and behaviors important to take your lab forward and how to improve them. It's about finding the best way to improve your team's performance. It's about the creation of a motivational environment. Mm-hmm. It's about managing results and managing tasks. Mm-hmm. It's about creating an environment conducive to work. Mm-hmm. And it's also about time management. The question one need to ask is, where do your efforts go? And do you perform at the level you are paid for? I mean, you cannot do $25 work if you get paid to do $100 work. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of work that you need to outsource or eliminate or delegate. Mm-hmm. And performance improvement is taking whatever you do, measure it, and finding ways to do it better. Mm-hmm. And when measuring performance, you must remember that you can never look at one indicator alone. You must always look at it in the context with each other and other performance indicators. Let me use an example. So there will always be a trade-off between cost, time, and quality. I mean, all of your listeners and the lab professionals know that little triangle about time, cost, and quality. So if you want to save money and you reduce cost, then that could negatively impact speed or quality. And if you want to improve quality, that could negatively impact cost and speed, because the more quality you introduce to your system, how longer it's going to take you, and it's going to cost you more. And if you do the things faster and want to improve speed, that could negatively impact your quality and cost. So you really need to find the golden midway. And cost, without removing resources, can be reduced without impacting quality or speed negatively. For example, I work with a laboratory which saved $75,000 per annum on overtime just by aligning their capacity with their demand. So they look at their demand over a 24-hour period, over a year, for every month. And then they determined what is the capacity of the demand that's coming in over a 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. And then they say, oh, at this point in time, that is when my lab is busy. So other shifts got a surplus of people, and we can just move that people around so that we ensure that our staff is optimally staffed, that our lab is optimally staffed, sorry. When the demand is there. And they cut out all their overtime and they saved $75,000 without removing any resources, just by shifting their resources around. Another lab had a reduction of 52% in turnaround time, just by thinking differently on how to utilize their time. And this also did not impact quality negatively.
Awesome, awesome. Just balancing resources is like so important. And you talk about a lot of the functions when it comes to performance improvement, and you see that a lot of those are just managerial responsibilities, but it's more about understanding these concepts. You know, these are some responsibilities that you have as a manager, but understanding how to do it sometimes becomes very challenging. And so I'm wondering for you how difficult it is for lab people who work in the lab. What kind of skill set is there, like any prerequisites that's needed in terms of skill in order to lead any kind of performance improvement in the lab? Let us know, is this like something that's overhead or something that we can do?
Lona, I'm so glad that you've asked this question. The performance of the laboratory, so let's call it lab performance, is directly relational to the employee's performance, and let's call that human performance. So human performance is a function of motivation and competency and a conducive work environment. So if the motivation levels of the staff goes down, human performance is going down. So see the formula in your head. HP, human performance, equals motivation multiplied by competency multiplied by environment. So if motivation goes down, performance goes down. If competency goes down, performance goes down. And if the work environment is not conducive for work, then human performance goes down. So the important aspect here is competency. And if you look at competency, it's a triangle of knowledge and skills and what I call the three A's. So the three A's is ability, an attitude, an attribute. And that is the responsibility of my HR or my recruitment department. And we must make sure that the people that we recruit to work in our lab have the ability and the attitude and the attribute. So let's have a look at knowledge and skills. Knowledge is a theoretical understanding of facts and figures. And skill is defined as applying the knowledge in a particular situation or context. And it requires you to use previously acquired knowledge or information and experience. Mm-hmm. But competency is where all these things come together. So competency is the capability to successfully apply the set of related knowledge and skills and behaviors to perform in your work function in the lab. Now, the set of related knowledge and skills and behaviors can be categorized into four levels. So the one is generic knowledge and skills, and that include things like health and safety, code of business conduct, ethics, good laboratory practices, ISO 15189, and so on. Technical skills and knowledge include your field of study, like hematology or microbiology or histology or whatever. Functional knowledge and skills include the business management side of your lab, like operations management, procurement and logistics, HR management, financial management, quality management, and so on. And then management knowledge and skills include the functions of planning, organizing, leading, and the controlling of your staff and your technology and your infrastructure. And we can add the consumables like your reagents and all the things that you need to run your lab to ensure an effective and efficient lab operation. And then the last one is behavioral knowledge and skills, which include the soft skills that you require to manage your lab. It's basically in four quadrants. So it's the behavior to manage myself, is the behavior to manage my team, the behavior to manage others, and the behaviors to manage my system. And the competency level that you need. So human performance is a function of motivation multiplied by competency in environment in your work. That competency level depends on your position. So how do you apply the knowledge and skills in generic, technical, functional, and the management and the behavioral side to do your job? So if you are a lab receptionist, the mix, the competency mix would be different from a lab technician, from a lab technologist, from a pathologist, from a lab manager. So it is how we put that together. So to answer your question, to build the performance improvement skills for your lab, one should focus on the functional knowledge area and that skills domain that we've talked about, so that they can basically build the competency to do performance and process improvement.
Awesome. So you're saying the functional part of it, that should be the big focus when it comes to actually getting that to that level of performance that you're setting your metric for in order to get where you want to go with your lab.
That's correct.
Awesome. So, how then could a medical lab scientist, we're talking about leading performance improvement, but based on what you're saying, it seems as if it's a joint effort between everyone that's part of the people who are at the bench in the work. There's the leaders, there's HR, there's so many people who are involved. So then when you think of the medical lab scientists, how can they learn to perform at the level that they need to perform in the lab in order to meet those performance improvement goals?
Yes, Lorna, thank you for a question. The saying goes, practice makes perfect, but it's also true that you don't know what you don't know. And as previously said, lab staff are trained scientists, and often they lack business improvement and management acumen. They are trained to help us to live longer, and they are not trained as managers or industrial or process engineers. And there is no better way to ensure the future relevance of our lab in this fast-changing external environment than empowering every lab staff member, from frontline staff up to lab manager level, in performance and process improvement knowledge and skills. You can just imagine the impact on your lab if all, let's say you have 10 staff members, for example, and you capacitate them to look differently at the way how they work at their bench. So to question the things that they do and improve the way how they work. So if there's 10 people and each one of them put a performance or a process improvement hat on their head when they work at their bench, it's a multiplication factor of 10. So taking the lab into the future is no longer a job of the business improvement team or the lab manager alone. I believe that the lab will only survive in the future through collaborative team effort. And Power of Process has a range of accredited lab management and lab transformation and improvement programs available on our learning platform, LabVine, labvinelearning.com, which will empower medical lab scientists to build management and lab transformation and improvement skills, which is needed to ensure the future relevance of their labs. So yes, there's custom-made programs for these lab professionals available, and which is presented with lots of enthusiasm.
Yeah, I know that you have an awesome program. You have some awesome programs that I think that we should start thinking to empower all medical lab professionals, not just the managers or supervisors, although we should start at some point, because even for some labs, managers or supervisors are not exposed to these kind of training. And it's so important to, you know, we have our technical skills, which is really great, but in order to perform at the level that we really need these training. And that's why we bring on awesome guests like you, Andre, to introduce these topics so that people realize how important it is for us as labs to perform at the level that we need to perform, especially with all the change in our environment, to adjust to these change in the landscape. We need these tools, we need these skills. And so thank you so much for presenting on Elaborate Topics podcast, but I want to make sure the listeners can continue to learn, this is just a tip, a small tip of what you have to offer. And so I'd want to ensure that they can follow you, learn from you, get in touch with some of the platform and training and other things that you have. So how can our listeners continue to learn from you, Andre?
Lona, thank you very much. So they can visit our learning platform on the World Wide Web at labvinelearning.com, or they can connect with me through LinkedIn, or they can contact us via the Power of Process or LabVine pages on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you so much, our listeners, for tuning in to another awesome episode of Elaborate Topics podcast. As you know, You can always tune in on either Direct Impact Broadcasting.com or any of your favorite podcast platforms. And so you can also go on Direct Impact Broadcasting.com to either send us a message. You can email us at elaboratestopic@directimpactbroadcasting.com. If you want to be a guest on the show, if you want to ask questions, if you want to make suggestions for any topics that you want to listen to. And until you hear from us again, have an awesome one.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.